Introduction. Cast your mind back to the spring of 2016. In the UK, David Cameron's Conservative Party had not long won the general election of 2015. From a position of strength, it had implemented its electoral promise to hold a national referendum on the UK's continued membership of the European Union in June 2016. Both the government and most of the UK's mass media expected the electorate to recognise the benefits to the UK of EU membership and vote to remain. In the USA, the presidential election campaign was gaining momentum. The Democrats had controlled the White House since 2008 under President Barack Obama, and the front-runner to replace him was the highly experienced establishment politician Hillary Clinton. Her main rival on the left was the economic left-wing populist Bernie Sanders. But Clinton's own party believed him to be too far left to win a national election. The Republican Party was also in the process of selecting its candidate to run against Clinton that November. By the spring of 2016, the choice was down to three men: Ted Cruz, a senator from Texas with a solid conservative political record; John Kasich, the moderate conservative governor of Ohio; and the New York real estate magnate turned TV celebrity, Donald Trump, who had no political record but had made his name as a harsh critic of President Obama. In the spring of 2016, most mainstream commentators in both the UK and the USA did not expect the outcome of the votes to be held later that year. Remain was predicted to be the easy winner in the Brexit referendum, and even if Donald Trump were to become the Republican Party candidate, surely Hillary Clinton would beat him easily in the November election. However, the mainstream media had failed to pick up on a change in the public mood in both the UK and the USA. They failed to take sufficient account of the public anger with the established political and economic elites that had long controlled their countries. In the UK, the Remain side and the government of David Cameron could hardly have been more representative of those powerful elite groups. In the USA, Hillary Clinton was the personification of the globalist elite. When the people rejected both, the shock was palpable. The essays in this book seek to explain why the mainstream political parties and mass media were caught by surprise, and why right-wing populism in the shape of the UK Brexit campaign and the candidacy of Donald Trump were so successful in the votes of 2016. In his essay on Understanding Brexit, Julian Manning takes a historical perspective. His paper argues that the UK has always had a problematic relationship with the EU, rooted in the difference in aims between the original members of the EU's forerunner organisation, the EEC, and the UK. He makes the case that there has always been anti-EU sentiment on both the left and right of British politics, but that this opposition was subdued for a generation following the UK's first referendum on continued EEC membership held in 1975, only 2 years after the UK had joined. That referendum had returned a decisive victory for the Remain side. The difference in 2016 was the economic insecurity felt by many British people following the recession caused by the global financial crisis of 2008. the Brexit campaign was able to exploit people's fears of the power of globalized economic and political elites who, they claimed, unfairly favored the interests of the rich and big business at the expense of ordinary working people. Uncontrolled immigration was blamed, however unfairly, for putting excessive pressure on Britain's social services and undermining Britain's workers' wages and their rights. Michihiro Ohira's essay addresses the post-Brexit vote situation in the UK. The competing campaigns, Remain and Leave, had made starkly contradictory claims about the future of the UK should the electorate vote one way or the other. The Remain side had claimed that the economic future would be put at risk if the UK chose to leave the EU. The government of David Cameron had produced dire predictions of food and medicine shortages and other disruptions to the economy. Remainers claimed that foreign investment in the UK economy would leave, threatening the jobs of many UK workers in the case of a Leave victory. On the other hand, the Leave campaign had argued that without the need to follow the onerous rules imposed by the EU, the UK economy would become dynamic and flourish outside the EU. Furthermore, an independent UK would be better able to address the real needs of its citizens by, for example, restricting immigration. Given that the decision to leave was by a very narrow majority, both arguments are still current in the UK. Ohira's essay examines the validity of each side's arguments in the light of what we know so far. It must be said that the jury is still very much out over which side will be proved to have been the closest to the mark in the long run. Matthew Rychek writes on the election of Donald Trump and the record of his first 2.5 years as president. He finds strikingly similar reasons for the appeal of Trump's right-wing populist campaign in the USA and the Brexit campaign in the UK. Both campaigns sought to demonize the social elites they blamed for ignoring the issues important to ordinary citizens. In doing so, they appealed to people's fears and prejudices to promote simplistic solutions to problems that either did not really exist or were far more complicated than they pretended. Having run a populist campaign, Rychek argues that it is no surprise that Trump has achieved little in his first few years as president, besides a massive tax cut for the already wealthy. The essay was written before the impeachment trial of President Trump. However, to date, there is no reason to doubt Rychek's conclusion that the Trump presidency is likely to end in failure.